You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Roy Gregory Brooks Jr. was a young man with a promising future in early 2000. He had just moved back home to be with his family in Castleberry, Florida. And he had also just started a new job at the Regal Movie Theater in Winter Park, Florida. Roy, who does prefer to be called Greg, so that's what I'll refer to him as here, also had a close-knit family network and was especially close to his mother and his younger brother, Jermaine. Greg also really enjoyed spending time with his friends. Usually, Greg would drive and they would hit up some local hangouts, often go to some fast food restaurants, or play basketball. In high school, Greg spent time in the school band as a drummer, and he sang in choir. Music seemed to be a passion of his. On January 18th, 2000, Greg went to the Winn-Dixie in Castleberry, Florida, to cash his paycheck. His paycheck was just over $200, and he walked in around 7 p.m. to cash his check, likely because the banks were closed or possibly even because his ex-girlfriend worked there. The next morning, Greg's mother woke up around 3 o'clock a.m. with a terrible, terrible feeling that something was wrong. She checked to find that Greg wasn't home yet, and he usually returned home from work around 1 a.m., so she was surprised, and her mother's intuition was telling her something wasn't quite right, but he is a 21-year-old young man, and perhaps he was with some friends. The next day, with still no sign of Greg, his mother reported him missing. At first, authorities thought he was, again, just a young man out with friends or perhaps even just wanting some time alone. They said it wasn't unusual for a 21-year-old to take off for a day or two, sometimes even longer. But Greg's family knew that wasn't the case, and he would never worry his mother. Greg had disappeared into thin air. Where is Roy Gregory Brooks Jr.?
Jermaine Mouse Brooks. I'm a rapper and an actor, but more importantly, it's a human being, a brother and a son. And while this may look like a regular parking lot with an olive in the back of it, this actually used to be a Winn-Dixie. It was the last place my brother, Roy Gregory Brooks Jr., was seen. It was over 23 years ago. I was a kid. I watched my mom try relentlessly to get support from the media, the press, and even the local Castleberry Police Department. We didn't get much support, but what we did do is try our hardest. And one thing I always do is never give up. I come from the industry of film, so I know what it takes to make a great film. So now I'm working on this documentary right now for my brother, and I want to make this a great film. But I need your help. I need your help. Because now, we don't have to beg the police to do their job. We don't have to beg the media for coverage. We can come directly to you. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I need your help with this film. Me and my family. Even if you share the video. And also, I'm going to leave some information for you to contact us. Anybody, if you saw anything, if you remember anything from that night, anything happened, please let me know. Let us know. It's the last thing I can do for my family. It's the last thing I can do for my mother. It's the last thing I can do for my brother. Thank you for your time.
Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. Greg's story is truly a mystery, and the work his family had to do to get some attention on his case is heartbreaking. No family should have to go through this alone, and it seemed like Greg's disappearance was brushed aside by law enforcement, probably because he was a 21-year-old young man when he vanished. Thank you all for being here and for listening to these stories. Every listen helps these cases get a little bit more attention. I do want to give a big welcome and shout out to our newest Patreon member, Amanda. Thank you so much for your support of our show. Also, please remember, I always welcome all feedback and case suggestions. You can find my contact information as well as other important show information in the notes section. Now, let's get into Greg's story. Roy Gregory Brooks Jr. was born October 19, 1978, and he lived with his family in Castleberry, Florida. He grew up very close to his family, especially his mother, Geraldine, and his younger brother, Jermaine. His family and friends all called him Greg, so that's what I'm going to refer to him as here. Greg attended high school in Florida and was known for playing the drums in the high school band, as well as singing in the choir. He also attended church with his family, and he was described as a likable, respectable, and very kind child as he was growing up. These are traits that have also been used to describe him as a young man. In addition to his family and music, Greg enjoyed playing basketball, and he really enjoyed working on his car. He absolutely loved his 1992 Honda. Greg did have the same girlfriend for a while in high school, and even as he went off to college, they would have a long-distance relationship for a while. However, in 1999, the two would break up. Around this same time, Greg dropped out of college at Florida A&M University because he didn't like the things that were going on there. Specifically, Greg wanted to be in the band, but hazing at this university was extreme, and Greg didn't want any part of it. Interestingly, this was happening in 1999, but in 2014, Florida A&M made national headlines when hazing there resulted in a death, specifically a band member-related hazing. A young man would be convicted of that crime and would be sentenced to 77 months in prison for this hazing incident. Greg would move back home to Castleberry, Florida with his family in December of 1999. While there, he found a job at a newly opened movie theater, the Regal Cinemas in Winter Garden, Florida. He enjoyed this job. He was working the concession stand, and he really liked interacting with people. He was always described as a people person. He liked chatting, and he liked being around people. He was also really enjoying being back home, where he could spend more time with his family and hang out with his younger brother, Jermaine. The disappearance. On Tuesday, January 18th, 2000, Greg was preparing for an evening at work. On his way to work that evening, he would stop at the Winn-Dixie in Castleberry, Florida to cash his $200 paycheck. This is an interesting point of contention in his case and something his family often wonders about. Remember, though, this was the year 2000. A lot of people didn't have cell phones and most weren't doing banking through their apps, but it was unusual for Greg to cash his check at Winn-Dixie, at least as far as his family knew. He did have a bank account, both a checking and a savings account, and his mom said he was diligent about putting his paycheck, or at least cashing his check, with his bank. However, on the evening of January 18th, he would stop at Winn-Dixie in Castleberry. Is it because maybe the bank was closed already, it was after hours, and he really needed the cash for some reason? Or, as his mother also speculates, his ex-girlfriend worked at this Winn-Dixie, and perhaps it was an excuse to stop in there and see her. we might not ever know. Meanwhile, that evening, his mother, Geraldine, went to bed as normal. However, at 3 o'clock a.m., she woke up kind of in a panic. Something felt wrong, and she just had a bad feeling. She got up to check on everyone, and she noticed that Greg wasn't home yet. When he worked, he would usually get home from his shift around 1 o'clock a.m. She thought this was odd, but again, he's 21 years old. Maybe he was with friends. Maybe he got stuck at work late for some reason. And she decided to talk herself out of panicking and go back to bed. But let me tell you, mother's intuition is a real thing. When she woke up the next morning and learned that Greg had never come home the night before, she absolutely knew something was wrong. She also knew it was probably too soon to call authorities. He hadn't really even been missing for a day yet, and she was just kind of going by a feeling that she had. Also, this was uncharacteristic behavior for Greg. It was unusual that she didn't know where he was or she hadn't heard from him. And as the day went on and her worry grew, she finally decided she had to call the local Castleberry police and report her son missing. However, authorities told her that young guys do this all the time and not to worry. Greg would probably be back soon. By this time, however, Geraldine knew this wasn't the case with her son. Something was very wrong. This was very unusual. No one could track him down. Something had happened to Greg. Greg Brooks Jr. had disappeared. The search. As stated, authorities weren't too worried about Greg's disappearance, at least in the beginning, despite his family's insistence that something was wrong. Greg had not taken any clothing with him. He had not taken any additional personal items, and he did not take medication, something that he took daily. Meanwhile, law enforcement near Sun City, Florida, just outside of Tampa, found an abandoned car off the side of the highway. It was 4:30 a.m. in the morning on January 19th. It was parked off of a main road, kind of in the median. They tagged it, and as is their procedure, they would follow up with it in a day or two to see if the owner removed it. It was tagged as a disabled car. When they ran the license plates, it didn't alert in their system that there was a problem, because there wasn't yet. However, this was Greg's car. And on the next day, January 20th, when authorities went to the car again to tow it off the highway, this time it came back as belonging to a missing person. Greg's family was contacted, and they would go retrieve the car. Now, there's a couple of things to note about this. Number one, the car was found in Sun City, Florida, about a two-hour drive from Castleberry. Why was the car so far away? If Greg had driven it there, what was he doing that far from home? Number two, authorities would let Greg's father get in and drive the car home. This would come up again later, so remember this detail. The car was working just fine. The car had gas in it. There was no reason that the car would be broken down, per se. It was just simply abandoned. There wasn't much to do at this point, and law enforcement wasn't exactly trying too hard. There was no paper trail to follow. There was no cell phone to follow. And there's no online information that could lead them in any direction. It was just as if Greg had vanished into thin air. Greg's mom, however, was working tirelessly to search for her son. She went to Sun City, where the car was found, and with a few other family members, they walked up and down the street, passing out flyers, going into businesses, trying to find someone who might have seen Greg, might have seen the car get parked there, or if anyone knew anything at all about Greg. But they didn't discover anything. She also started a notebook to keep track of every detail of the investigation, something she would continue to do for years. So far, no one could come up with any reason why Greg was even that far from home and why he didn't make it into work that night, something that Greg's mom learned when she went to his work to see what might have been going on. Greg, who was very close to his family, never mentioned anything. He didn't take any belongings with him. They really believed whatever was going on with him that night, he expected to return home. Everyone was puzzled. His family pushed for an investigation into the car. They felt the car could hold the key or could hold some evidence that might help them. Why was the car there? Who had left it there? So authorities finally agreed to take the car in to test for fingerprints. Now, it was noted in the file when the car was found that nothing looked out of place or unusual. There was no signs of a struggle or anything. The car was in working order. But when they tested it for fingerprints, they said the only fingerprints they found in and on the car were identified as Greg's. But right away, his family would question this. First of all, the last person to drive the car was actually Greg's dad when he drove it home after it was found. So why weren't his fingerprints found in the car? Second, Greg was always known for having his friends or his brother in the car with him all the time. If they all went anywhere, it was Greg who usually drove. The car should have had their prints found in the vehicle as well. As far as I could tell, law enforcement never publicly addressed this discrepancy, so I can't say what may have happened here. My first thought is those prints were found, but detectives might have just discounted them because they knew that those prints would be found. They weren't alarming in any way. My second thought is, and I hope this one is not the case, that the car was not actually tested for prints after all. I don't know. I would love to hear more from law enforcement on this one. As the years went on, family did hire a few different private investigators. And while some tips and even potential reports of sightings would come in, none would lead them to Greg. Greg's brother, Jermaine, also really took his brother's disappearance hard. They had been so close, and life for Jermaine became a struggle after Greg disappeared. Today, however, Jermaine is doing well. He is a father now, and he still thinks about his brother every day and wishes his kids could know their uncle. Castleberry, Florida, and Sun City, Florida. This case is tricky because we have a few different points of interest here. We know that Greg was from Castleberry. He was living in Castleberry. We also know he was last known to be at the Winn-Dixie in Castleberry. His job at the Regal movie theater was about 15 minutes away in Winter Park, Florida. And then we know his car was found 2 hours away from all of this in Sun City, Florida, which is a Tampa suburb. Castleberry, Florida is considered part of the Orlando metropolitan area, and it has its own population of just over 28,000 residents. This is a very busy area. Of course, it's a very touristy area, people coming and going all the time. Castleberry specifically is known for being hot and humid, as is much of Florida, and is surrounded by lots of lakes and ponds. Inside the city limits, in fact, Castleberry has a total of 17 parks. But we also have to travel across the state to the west and take a look at the Sun City area where Greg's car was found. Sun City is a city that's just south of Tampa. The city has a population of just around 20,000 residents, and it's considered a popular retirement area. It's also pretty close to the Tampa Bay coastline. From what we know, the car was found on Sun City Center Boulevard, very close to Interstate 75. This is a very busy area, full of small businesses and restaurants, and very close to Interstate 75, which runs north and south, up and down Florida's coast. But what is Greg's connection to Sun City, if any? We truly don't know what took him to Sun City, Florida. It's interesting that while Castleberry is on the east side of the state, his car was found 2 hours away on the west side of the state. Of course, a big concern with Florida and missing person cases in general is the amount of water, not just surrounding the state of Florida, but all throughout the state. Florida is full of lakes and ponds and rivers. The randomness of his disappearance and the mystery of where his car was found in relation to where he lived and where he should have been that night continue to raise more and more questions. The questions. There are so many unknowns, it's almost hard to know what questions to ask. But I do have a few that instantly come to mind. First, did any of Greg's friends have any insight as to what he was thinking and what he was doing that day, the day he vanished? Had he talked to anyone that day? There is an interesting fact learned about one of his friends that I'll circle back to in a minute. Second, did Greg have any connection at all to Sun City, Florida? Did he know anybody there? Would there be any reason at all for him to travel to that specific area? I know it was said that Winn-Dixie had recorded over their surveillance video, but I wonder if there was any other surveillance video in the parking lot or any other nearby businesses, possibly to see if maybe he had been followed there or if he was not alone at the time he went there, or maybe if someone had even followed him out of the store. He did just cash a paycheck. Could someone have wanted to rob him for the cash? And then there's also the question of why did he cash his check at Winn-Dixie? He did have a bank account. And he usually put his check in the bank. Although I think because it was after hours, he might have needed the cash. Or as his mother even suggested, his ex-girlfriend worked at Winn-Dixie. Maybe it was a possible excuse for Greg to go in and see her. I think those are plausible explanations. During an interview with the Unfound podcast in 2018, Greg's mother, Geraldine, said there was one friend of Greg's who was very close to not just Greg, but the entire family. However, when Greg disappeared, the family never heard from this friend again. He never called to check in. He never called to see if there was any news about Greg. He never called at all to get any updates or check on the family. Geraldine said this specifically saddened her because they had considered him a part of their family. He had often stayed over their house. He would stay for dinner. Is it suspicious that he also just seemed to vanish from their lives? Greg disappeared the day before his brother Jermaine's birthday, something that Jermaine has had to live with for 24 years. And in fact, it was Jermaine's 16th birthday, something that should be a special occasion, a reason to celebrate with family. And now it's often a reminder of the bad memories of a tragic time in their family. Greg's mother spent years following the case and doing whatever she could to try to keep Greg's name front and center, not only for law enforcement, but for the media as well. She wanted to continue to put pressure on authorities and try to find answers. She kept a very detailed journal documenting every conversation she had, contact information of anyone who ever assisted in the investigation, including all the detectives, and notes on every step of the investigation along the way. She has said that several years ago, she had to step back from being so active and so relentless because it was taking a toll on her mental health, which is completely understandable. I can't even imagine how difficult it must be to search for your missing son year after year after year. Something happened on the evening of January 18th, 2000, to a young 21-year-old Greg Brooks Jr. Did he decide to leave town to walk away from his life? Or did something bad happen to him? Was he maybe involved in something that no one knew about? Or could this be a case of wrong place, wrong time? We really have so little to go on. I think every theory is a possibility. What do you think happened to Roy Gregory Brooks Jr.? Greg Brooks Jr. is described as a black male standing 5'11" tall and weighing around 140 pounds when he was last seen in January 2000 near Castleberry, Florida. He had black hair that was styled in an afro at that time, and he has brown eyes. Greg was 21 years old when he vanished. He would today be 45. Anyone with any information on Greg Brooks is asked to contact the Castleberry Police Department at 407-262-7606. Thank you so much for listening to Greg's story today. A case that needs a lot more attention and a case that needs solved. This family has waited far too long for answers. Keep sharing Greg's story. Even though it's been so long, I do have high hopes this case can be solved. Someone out there had to see something. We have had some case updates lately. Hopefully, we will have more as time goes on, and we will always share those updates over on social media first. You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Of course, I always welcome all of your feedback or case suggestions. Keep those coming. You can contact me on social media or via email at canwefindthem@gmail.com. You can also use the contact form on our website, which can be found at wherearethepodcast.com. Our website also has additional missing person stories, and all of our past episodes can be found there as well. If you've made it this far into the podcast and appreciate our show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating to help us reach more people. Thank you again for listening to the story of Ray Gregory Brooks Jr., Greg, a young man missing from Castleberry, Florida, a young man who left behind a family that continues to search for their son, their brother, and their friend. Let's keep helping this family keep Greg in the spotlight. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.